Holy Spirit is the teacher to every one of us, Lord. May we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read the Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 1 down through verse 23. It says, "The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth or of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. He will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I spoke to them, or I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now the seed that is sown is the word of God. The soil that the seed is planted in is the human heart. It consists of your spirit, your soul, and your body. You hear with your ears, it goes into your soul or thinking process, and then into your spirit. Whether you hear it or see it by reading it, the word has to go through your thinking process to get to your spirit. In our lesson, we read verse 10. I want to go to that again. And they asked the question, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, I want you to understand what a parable is, because there's an important point here. And remember, Jesus said in Mark 4, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any parable? Here's a key. The word parable means a comparison, an illustration, an analogy. It is generally used of a somewhat lengthy utterance or narrative drawn from nature or human circumstances, the subject of which is to set forth a spiritual lesson. See, this is where the Pharisees couldn't understand Jesus, and they just got real frustrated and mad at him because he used natural things to give them a spiritual object lesson, and they could never understand it. And he says, if you can't understand this, how will you understand anything? See, they were listening with their natural ears and their natural brain. It was never getting into their spirit and into their heart. And if you never hear the Word of God except with your natural thinking and your brain, you'll never hear what God is saying to you to cause you to grow up and mature and hear what the Holy Spirit wants you to do to change your life. He comes into your life to change it. He don't want you the same tomorrow as you were today. He wants His Word to make a change in your heart. If you don't hear His Word in your heart, you'll never make any changes. Verse 11, and this is another key one. He answered and said, because it has been given to you to know. Jesus is talking to you and me here this morning. God says it has been given to you and me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. God don't want you in the dark. God never meant for you to stay in the dark. He says it's given to you to know that. If you don't believe that, you'll never hear and understand what He's saying to you. It's given to you to know. God didn't write His Word as a mystery so you could never understand it. But see, if you've never been born again, you'll never hear or understand the Word of God. You must be born again. You must have the ears of your spirit alive to God. But it's given to you to know. The Holy Spirit wanted me to make sure you hear what I'm saying this morning. It's been given to you to know the Word of God. God don't want you ignorant. Now, if you want to stay ignorant, that's entirely up to you. That's your choice. I choose to know the Word of God. The word know here is the word gnosko. It means to be taking in knowledge, to come to know, to recognize and understand. So God is saying, I have given my Word to you to understand. Then you'll ask the question, then why don't I understand it? It's because you're trying to figure it out with your natural brain. And your natural brain ain't smart enough to figure out the Word of God. It's got to be shared with you by His Holy Spirit in your spirit. Then it comes up into your understanding. We try and understand it before it gets to our spirit. I asked the Lord, and I was sharing this in Sunday school class morning. I asked the Lord when I was young, I said, God, if You'll just help me understand Your Word, then I'll know how to do it. The Holy Spirit spoke back to me, and He says, John, if you do My Word, then you'll understand it. You do the Word because of what it says to do, and as you do the Word, understanding comes. See, we're waiting on our natural brain to give us spiritual understanding so we can know what to do. God says, no, you trust me. How many of you know that God's Word says this is a walk of faith? Amen. He didn't say it's a walk of knowing everything. He said it's a walk of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, you can't understand by what you see with the natural eyes. You understand with what you see by your spiritual eyes. Now, if you're born again, your spiritual eyes are open. Your spiritual ears are open. And Jesus said, I have given you my Word so that you can understand it. It means to understand completely. That means progressive knowledge. It's a process. God's Word will meet you and give you understanding through His Spirit on your level of wherever you're at in your walk with Him. If you're in kindergarten, He's not going to teach you out of the fifth grade. If you're in kindergarten, He's going to break it down on a kindergarten level for you. That's how God's going to talk to you wherever you're at. But He's not going to tell you something where you can't understand it. And if you get frustrated because you don't understand the Word of God, it's just you ain't to that level yet. So grow up. Quit trying to be something you're not. Quit trying to understand something you ain't ready for yet. You would not want me going into a hospital and operating on you because I've never been there before. You want somebody that's got that understanding, got that learning, and has some experience under his belt. You don't want me in there doing it. But I don't want that doctor in here telling me how to understand the Word of God because he ain't never been there before. I want somebody that's been there before. God's given it to me to understand. He's given it to you to understand. He didn't give me anything he didn't give you. You got the same Holy Ghost I got. He's the same teacher. Hallelujah. Glory. He says, I've given you to understand the mysteries. The word mystery is just something hidden or not fully manifest or understood yet. It's talking about spiritual truths and sacred secrets. I pray every day of the year, Lord, let me understand your spiritual truths and your sacred secrets. I'm going to pray in tongues because praying in tongues is what prays up those spiritual truths and sacred secrets according to 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. So when I'm praying in tongues, I'm getting some understanding. How many know that praying in tongues bypasses your brain? Matthew 14 verse, no, 1 Corinthians 14, 14 says, when I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. And when my spirit is praying, then I'm praying up the mysteries, the spiritual truths, the sacred secrets, the things that my natural mind don't understand. I'm praying them up. So the more I pray in tongues, the more I'm going to get understanding. But it'll come when I need it. How many of you have been talking to somebody and they've asked questions or something and you come up with an answer you didn't even know you knew? That's the Holy Ghost. That's giving you the understanding when you need it. Hallelujah. He has given us to know. In Matthew 13, verse 13, it says, this is the reason that I speak. I'm reading this in the Amplified. I speak to them in parables because they have the power of seeing, but they do not see. They have the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they grasp and understand. See, this, he's telling them the difference between the natural and the spiritual. That's what he's trying to get them to understand. See, they're listening what I'm saying for the in the natural brain. And what I'm talking to them about is spiritual things. And they're not alive spiritually, so they couldn't understand it. Now, they didn't understand, this may just blow some of you away. I've always thought they didn't understand because they weren't born again. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and He said it wasn't because they weren't born again, it was because they didn't believe. Because Jesus said in John 15 verse 2, He says, now you are clean. He was speaking to His disciples. He says, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Why were they clean if they weren't born again? It's because the Word of God cleansed them because they chose to believe what Jesus said. So your understanding depends on what you believe, not on how much smart you got up here. Hallelujah. Believe the Word because it's the Word of God, not because you understand it. Go to verse 18. Hear the parable of the sower. The word hear means to understand and get the meaning of these parables. He's telling his disciples, listen to what I'm telling you. I'm going to give you the understanding of this. Listen and get a hold of this. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. The wayside in the Greek is the word hodon. It means a course of conduct or way of thinking. So it was the way they were thinking. I brought an illustration here. This is a picture frame. It's got glass in it. How many can see clearly? That's the way a person with a humble heart. This is talking about the last one, but I got to use this to start with. You can see through this clearly. Okay. Here's what the illustration the Lord gave me of the one that's by the wayside. How clear can you hear see that? See, his thinking's messed up. How many of us admit our thinking's been messed up once or twice? I hate to say this, but some of us, I mean, in fact, all of us still have some messed up thinking.
There's hope on that. God gave me scriptures on hope on that. I'll share with you. We'll get to that. But this is what was wrong with these guys that was on the wayside. The devil came along and snatched the word from them. Why? Because what they got was still laying in their natural brain on hard ground, and he just took it back out of there. It never got down into their spirit. See, the devil can't take out what you got in your heart. He can't touch that. That's yours. But it's got to go through your thinking, into your spirit, into your heart, into that soft ground where he can't touch it. Verse 20. But he who receives seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives... No, just a minute. I got to go back to verse 19. I didn't finish the thought. How this guy received the word? There's the word received here means that he got a hold of it because he thought he could use it to help himself. You ever done that with the word of God? Try and get a hold of the Word of God so you can help number one. You don't get the spiritual understanding of it when you use God's Word for your own ends. It's like these people that go to church on Sunday because it looks good. Or they want to show off their clothes. Or some of us, this is what I used to do. I knew the Word of God better than the preacher. In that little community church I was in, a Free Methodist preacher, I knew the Word of God better than he did, and I'm only 18 years old. But I didn't have no wisdom. I thought I knew it all. I would take the Word of God and cut that guy to pieces. I don't know whether I had any effect on this guy or not, or why he did it. But he tried to take his own life a couple years after I left that community. He took a shotgun. I may have been part of that problem. Years later, I went back and made an appointment to see him long before he passed away. And God says, you go apologize to that man. I said, yes, sir. And I did. And I went and apologized. He says, oh, John, don't forget. He says, it don't matter. I said, it does to me. I have done a lot of wrong things. I hurt you, and I'm sorry. I took the word of God and hurt that man. He's not the only one I did it to either. I did a lot of apologizing. Why are you using the Word of God this morning? Okay, let's go to verse 20. But he who receives seed on the stony places, this he hears the Word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the Word, immediately he stumbles. Well, let's just take another one, see if we can see any better. You see that? Still not clear, is it? Still messed up. Why? Because he's, again, trying to use the Word of God. And he's believing in it all right. But the cares of this world, the things that are the tribulations, the stresses. There was no root. So the affliction and the distress when it came took them out. Why? Because they didn't have time to get the root of the Word of God down in them. Verse 21. No, verse 22. Let's keep moving here because I only got so much time. He who had received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of this age, anxiety, care that brings disruption to the personality and the mind. It takes your time and attention away from the Word of God. How many of us have been guilty of that? How many of us have taken the Word of God after we're so far into the thing we can't get any way out, and we've done lost it, so to speak. And we've, maybe I ought to pray about it. Find out what the Word of God says. We've done it, haven't we? See, God wants us to come to Him first with that soft, pliable spirit and with a humble heart so that we can hear what He's trying to tell us. The fact is, if you come to Him soon enough, you probably may not even get into the problem. Now, that's a revelation. The cares of this age. How many got cares? Maybe I ought to ask this, or how many of you don't have any cares? Not a hand goes up this time. Interesting. Why? Because that's things that... there's needs in this world. You know, it helps if you eat every day and you sleep and you got a place of your own and got transportation. Those things are nice. Those are cares. And God cares about your cares. But He told you to cast your cares on Him. Yeah, but Lord, I can't control Him if I do that. Duh. Maybe He's got a reason for that. Casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. The deceitfulness of riches. How many of you have done some stuff to try and make money and it failed? And finally you just say, okay, God, I've done it. Finally we get to the Lord, what do You want me to do? Sometimes I've been so frustrated that I only knew one thing. I was born again. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was reasonably sure that I was doing what God called me to do. And then I get there, and then I'll stay there that day. I don't need to go any farther than that day. As long as, you know, once I've got back on track where I know I'm in God's will, okay, God, okay, You'll take care of the rest of it. I don't need to worry about it. That is not my care. Forgive me for getting back in the driver's seat of my life and kicking you out. Now, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but He certainly spends a lot of time in the back seat of your car, don't He?
Oh my. That stuff chokes and overpowers and suffocates you spiritually. And you become unfruitful, bearing no spiritual fruit. Again, I could show you another frame. It looks the same. You can't see through because you're not thinking clearly. See, that's what Jesus wanted them to understand in this parable, was that it was your thinking process that was causing you the problem. It was your thinking naturally in your natural thinking that was causing you to not understand what Jesus was saying. Because see, they were thinking, when Jesus was talking to them, their mind was on other things. Their mind was on how they could get back at Him and how they could get Him out of their way and how they could control Him. Now, I know husbands and wives, you've never had that problem. So I know we understand the process. See, Jesus just wanted them to listen. Most of our problem is we don't always listen to what the Holy Ghost is trying to say. But God, this is the only way it'll work. I've got it figured out. I can only do it this way. And then the Holy Spirit comes up with a very simple little thing that if you just adjust a little bit, and it would work fine. God is not complicated. He can't be for you and me. I love that saying, Pastor. I don't know where he heard it. I don't remember now. He's been quoting here the last few Sundays. Don't leave your mind alone. It's too small to take care of itself. Excellent saying. It is. It's just so good. Okay, let's go to verse 23. Because this talks to us. This is where we're at. We've been born again. We know. See, he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So I want to hold this first one I held up to you again. See how we see through that? That's a person with a humble spirit. You can see what's through that glass, and that's what we want to be. You know, there's a story told of this older gentleman that was living in his house, and he was watching. You know, years ago, I understand this because years ago you used to dry all your clothes out on the clothesline. So quite a few of you understand that.
And he was kept telling his neighbor lady her clothes were dirty. Why didn't she clean them before she, you know, why put dirty clothes out on the clothesline? It just don't make sense, you know. Well, she one day, she comes over to his place and washes his window. All of a sudden, her clothes are clean. Now, how many of us have looked at God through our own problems, our own struggles, our own trials, and we're looking through one of these glasses here, and we're wondering why we can't see God? Because it's time we clean our own lives, clean our own windows, clean our own glasses, so we can see Him and see what He's saying to us. Amen? That's good ground. God wants us to produce, and that we can. In Psalms 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, turn there, because God has a lot to say about blessing us and the good things of life for us. Now, I'm going to read this in the Amplified, so it may, because I don't have a lot of time. In the Amplified, it says, "Blessed and happy and fortunate, prosperous and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice and their plans and their purposes, nor does he stand submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather." You know, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me about that verse. He says, do that with your own thinking. Quit sitting down with your own thinking process. Shut your flesh down. Use God's thinking process. Verse 2. "But his delight and desire in the law of the Lord," or the Word of God, "and on his law," the precepts, the instructions, "the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night." Verse 3, this is the one I wanted to get to. This is what God's promise is to us on this good ground. "He shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper." That's good ground. That's what you and I are. That's why God wants us producing out of good ground. Because God can bless that. Why? Because it comes from a humble spirit. What was the attitude of the Pharisees while they were listening to Jesus? You can tell by the words they say that they were angry with him. They didn't like anything he said. Their attitude was bad. Well, let's bring it up to today. What's your attitude when you're sitting and listening to the Word of God? What's your attitude? What are you thinking about when you're reading the Word of God? What are you thinking about? What's your attitude? What's in your mind when you're visiting with somebody and you're trying to help them or you're trying to use them? It's not really hard to have good ground when you're sitting in church. It's a lot harder to have good ground when you're under pressure. Things ain't going the way you wanted them to. When you don't have answers to things, what kind of an attitude do we have at that time? See, God wants us to be in the place where He can help us prosper in everything that we do. Go to John 12:24. Let's let the Lord help us understand this verse. John 12:24-25. Again, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. He says, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. Anyone who loves his life loses it. Anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Whoever has no love for, no concern for, no regard for his life here on earth, but despises it, preserves his life forever and ever." Now, he's not talking about you going out and taking your life. That's not what he's mean there. He means about putting your ways and your wants second place to what is God telling you to do? Who's He told you to go witness to or pray for or do something so that He can help somebody? That's what God's talking to us about. He can bless you if He's flowing through you. How many know that if you put water through a pipe, you can't do that? You can't get water from point A to point B to irrigate land unless the water gets the pipe wet. See, I'm just a farm boy. I can think that way. It's real easy for me. See, when the Holy Ghost is flowing through me to bless other people, I am getting abundantly blessed. So when you bless others, you give to their needs, or you teach them or talk to them or help them in the things that they need. God is blessing you while you're doing it because it's Him through you reaching that person. Go to John chapter 15. Verses 1, 2, 3, 4, verse 5. I'm just going to read this in the Amplified. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, He cuts away, He trims it off, and He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. How many of you have been under the cutting of God? Well, you're going to get some more. Verse 3, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given to you. So the word of God cleanses you. See, if all of us have some of this hard ground in us, in areas of our mind and thinking, we all have some of that, but the word of God will cleanse that out of you if you'll allow it to. Verse 4, dwell in me and I dwell in you. Live in me, I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself, indeed, without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Jesus said in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Now, remember I said earlier I want us to, and I'm going to have to close with this. I know I'm out of time. But I want to read Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 28 and 29. Remember I said that we all have this hard area in us? See, God's Word takes care of that. Let me read this again in the Amplified. Jeremiah 23, verses 28 and 29. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream. But he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat? For nourishment, says the Lord. Now verse 29 is what I wanted to get to. Is not my word like fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of the most stubborn resistance? See, the Word of God will do in you what it needs to do if you will get it in there. Amen. And you got some hard spots in you. I got hard spots in me. And the Word of God's like a hammer. It will bust that hard ground in you if you'll allow it to. Praise God. So don't give up hope. Think that you can't control yourself or change your way of thinking. God's Word will help you change the way of thinking. Again, I've given this illustration before, but I'm going to give it again. And that is, when you're eating at a table, and we will be within an hour or so, we'll all be sitting down to eat something. When you look at that, you're going to take the time and try and figure out what the spuds will do, and what the meat will do, and what the lettuce will do, and what the peas will do, what the corn will do. Are you going to sit and look at that and see if the body knows how to take care of that? How fast are you going to get rid of that food? You just put it in there. Why? Because you've already known through the experience that your body will take care of that food. Okay? Spiritually, when you read the Word of God, your spirit man inside of you knows how to digest the Word of God. It's built out of the same material that the Word of God is built out of. Your spirit is the same spirit and life that God spoke into you and that He spoke in His Word. So when you eat the Word, it will digest. Amen. Just get it in there. The understanding will come. It will come. It takes about 3 to 4 months. If you've not read the Bible very much, start reading the New Testament 4 chapters a day, and you read it every day. 4 chapters. Just keep reading the New Testament over and over. Within 3 months, you'll have the New Testament read through and probably twice. But by the second time you start going through it, it's going to start coming alive to you. You read it again, it's just going to keep coming alive to you. See, you need it on a daily basis. If you eat the Word of God as much as you eat food, then you'll be all right. But some people only go to church Sunday morning, and that's their whole spiritual food. And then they wonder why they don't even want to go to church most of the time. Why? Because your spirit is so weak, it has nothing to say. And I'm meddling now, so I'm going to quit. One more scripture and I'll close. Ephesians 5:26. So that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her with the washing of the water of the Word. So the Word will cleanse you. The Word will break up your hard ground. The Word of God will change your thinking process. It will change your attitude. But remember, our key thought this morning was hearing and receiving. Make sure that you're doing both. Not just the one. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone here this morning that has never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, we want to make that available to you this morning. We're going to have some music here very shortly, and we're going to invite you to come on up and receive the Lord. If you've been in backslidden condition, you're not serving the Lord like you should, and you're not got the interest that you need to have, that you've allowed that to get away from you, and you want to get back in fellowship, here's the place and here's the time to do that. And also, if you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues so you can have the effects of that language, praying in the Holy Ghost, then you come on up and do that also. So I want you to, if you want any one of those three things, I'm going to invite you to come forward right now and receive what you need. Hallelujah. God's Word is real. God's Word is true. It will change your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have workers here that will go with you and explain the Word of God to you and help you and share for you. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Thanks for coming up. Is there anyone else here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Are you the one of them that's going to Iraq also? Okay, I'm
serving the Lord. I just want to reconcile.
Okay. Wants to get back in fellowship. Praise God. I'm going to pray for this one here before he goes back there about going to Iraq, because I'm going to call the rest up. He's going to be back in the prayer room, so I'm going to pray for him right now. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask that you send your angels with this man. I ask that you fill him with your peace and your strength and your wisdom. As he's in Iraq, Lord, that he can do the things he's called to do. But he can do them with strength, he can do them with peace. And your protection is upon him and his family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Precious lady that wants to get back in fellowship?
Yeah.
You with him? Okay.
Fly back.
Okay. Oh, you're going with him to Iraq? Oh, you're a soldier too. Praise God. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we got another soldier here that's going to Iraq, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. We send your angels with her. Protect her. Keep her, Lord. Give her strength. Give her that peace. The joy of the Lord is their strength, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And they will come back victorious, alive and well, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn around and go with these people behind you here. God bless you. They'll take care of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. The rest of you gentlemen and ladies, whoever else is going to Iraq, come on up here. We're going to have prayer over you right now. And your families, whoever's with you, you're welcome to come on up here.
Praise the Lord. We want to see these people blessed and strengthened, kept safe, and everything that they say and do. Praise God. Appreciate you coming and being with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all of us stretch out our hands this way. We're going to pray for each one of these. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for my brother right now in the name of Jesus that you'll keep him safe. Strengthen him, Lord. The joy of the Lord is his strength. Give him angels for protection. Give him wisdom by the Holy Spirit in everything he says and does. Father, again, this man, I pray for protection. I pray that you bless him and strengthen him, Lord Jesus, that you'll use these people for your glory. Father, that you'll win souls through them. That, Father, they'll come home safe, blessed, and encouraged in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for each one of these. Lord, they're going in our place. They're being a blessing for each one of us. Father, I pray your blessing and anointing upon them. Your guidance and protection upon each one, Lord. Give your angels charge over them and keep them safe in Jesus' name. Father, I pray again for this precious brother that you'll keep him safe in Jesus' name. Your angels' protection over him. Guide and direct him, Lord. Give him the joy of the Lord as his strength. Lord, in each one of these gentlemen, the joy of the Lord to be their strength. Lord, in the guidance and protection of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know you will. They're doing a good thing. Your presence to go with them. Keep them safe. They'll all come home shouting for the praises of God in their heart. Hallelujah. Somebody bring me my Bible. I forgot. The Lord gave me a scripture. Well, just bring me a Bible. I know where it's at. Oh, here it comes.
Sir?
Yes.
We are 32 soldiers from Puerto Rico going to Iraq.
Pardon?
We are 32 soldiers going to Iraq. We are now here. It's 8. We're going now. 32 soldiers.
32 of you are going. Well, this scripture you give to yourselves and also to them. You remember this scripture and you give it to them in Colossians chapter 1. Starting with verse 9. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of our God. That you be strengthened with His might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us. He has delivered us from the authority of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's God's word to each one of you. Go in God's strength. God bless you as you go. And now we thank you as a church and as people. We thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Bless you. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a privilege. What a privilege. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Have a good afternoon. Go out and enjoy your food.
Troubles come. my hiding place. Oh, Most High, those who know You, trust You, that You would not forsake the ones who seek Your face. I will be glad of the Lord with all my heart. I will sing glorious praises to Your name. I will be glad and exult in You, my Lord. Yesterday, today, forever, You're the same. Oh, Most High, You are my stronghold. Troubles come, Lord, You're my hiding place.